How's it doing? Stay put, not move, not be my normal wiggly self. So this is gonna be fun. All right, so interesting times for the Israelites and the Jewish people. And just to review that section, that first part that was read. Not everyone from Jerusalem at that point had been taken into Babylon. There was actually three takings of people. And the final taking was when they burned down the city. So that's a message for another time. But this is the message that Jeremiah sent to encourage them. Because I don't know about you, being taken from your home country, being taken from your family, being taken from your friends, places that you know, is a little bit traumatic. And sometimes when tragedy strikes, we like to ask why. And the answer to why, to this particular tragedy, is found in the Old Testament. You can look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 18. And you'll see that as Moses was leading the people to the promised land, he said, look, you need to follow God's word, and you will live long in the land. But if you don't, then you will not live long in the land, and you will be taken from it. So that was 800 years ago. And I don't know about you guys, but do you guys remember what happened 800 years ago in our own history? Nope. Well, the Israelites had a short memory too. They forgot. And so the culture at the time of Jeremiah, they were going in the direction of, well, you know, it's just a stuffy old book. Like, does it really make any sense? And Luke was covering last week how they were treating the Sabbath. Basically, they had a 24/7 work culture that never stopped for any reason because, you know, profit and money is the highest good. Whereas God says, look, I have a day that's set apart for rest. Stop working and enjoy it. Okay, so the culture went one way going, not really sure about this whole, you know, God's word thing. It's a stuffy old book, stuffy old scrolls in that time. And then, later, sometimes we go the other way and we go, okay, work is defined as, if you pick up a rock, that's work. But you can pick up a child, that's fine. But if the child picks up a rock, then you can't pick up the child. Not kidding. So sometimes we get all tied up and confused when really the word is simple and straightforward. It's not that hard. We don't have to take it to that place. So, thinking about it being not that hard, what do we do when we encounter difficult times? And so Jeremiah sends this word of encouragement to the people to let them know what God has planned. Because when we encounter difficult times, sometimes we ask, where is God? But we should also ask, who is God? And what does God want for me? This passage, Jeremiah 4 through 14, is going to answer all those questions. And it's going to point us to three specific things that God desires to bless, to bring peace, and to give us a future. Okay? So you can follow along with me in your Bibles or on your apps. We're looking through Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 14. I'm just going to say a quick prayer before we get started. Lord, I just want to thank you for everyone who is here and everyone who is listening. Father, it's so wonderful that even though we face struggles and difficulties in our own time, we can still gather together and celebrate you. And we can do that here in this building, and we can do it far off. Know that we are still together and still loving and serving you. So Lord, I thank you for that. And I just pray that today's message would be one of refreshment and encouraging to everyone who listens to it. Amen. All right, so let's pick it up in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So first thing that we need to know about who God is that God claims responsibility for this. God doesn't say, well, the Babylonians snuck up on me and, you know, they ruined my plans. God's not saying that. God's saying, I put this together. And you might be thinking, God, why would you do that? Well, I don't know, but if you've ever had kids, you probably had to put them in a timeout. Because they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And you're trying to teach them how they should act. You're trying to shape their character and who they are and who they're going to become. That's exactly what's taking place here. As we sang earlier, God is a father, and we are his kids. And as those of you who have kids or you know, just been around kids, you know that sometimes kids just don't want to listen, in part because that's who they are. They're learning and they're growing. God does that for us, and God did that for his people because he loves them. So here's this message of encouragement. Build houses and settle down. I'm reading from the NIV. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. One of the biblical words for blessing means to increase. So God is saying to these people who are probably full of mixed emotions going, what's just happened? Why is this happening? I probably don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning because I'm in a foreign country where people speak a foreign language and I feel really uncomfortable. God doesn't say to them, look, you just need to, you know, pull the covers up over your head and everything will be fine. I'll send you back because they'll realize that they really don't want you. No, God says, I want you to get out of bed and I want you to go to work because I want to bless you and to increase you. But you're going to have to get up and move. You can't just stay in bed where it's nice, warm, and cozy. You know, the blessing of God doesn't happen when we sit back and do nothing. The blessing of God is a multiplication of the work that we do, where we sit back and we go, okay, I know I put this amount of time and effort into this, and the result that I got out of it is way more than I ever expected to get. That's the blessing of God. Increase. Do not decrease. So that's part one. Part two. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So God is sending them away, and he's telling them, I want you to seek the shalom of the city. I want you to help that city become everything that I want it to be. Everything that I created this world to be. See, too often we have this perspective that if we end up in a place that we don't like, we just kind of need to separate ourselves from it and stay away from it because, you know, if we get too close to it, we're going to be contaminated by it. That's not God's vision. God's vision, as you can also see in the book of Daniel and the book of Esther, pastor, is that they're a part of it. You know, Daniel worked for the Babylonian government. Mordecai worked for the Babylonian government. And you know, when Mordecai heard that someone was plotting to kill the king, he didn't go, well, you know, that king's really not a good guy, so yeah, let's just let it go through. He went, no, hold on, I need to tell someone about this, because killing the king is not the right thing to do. They stood up and they did something. They sought justice. You know, a lot of the turmoil that we face comes from injustice, from things not being as they should be. And God cares about it and wants us to do something about it and to pray to him for it, to intercede. And that's the kind of prayer that we're talking about here in this passage, is intercessory prayer. An example of that from the Old Testament. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the law, God told Moses, do you know what the Israelites are doing down at the base of the mountain? They've created an idol, and they are worshiping it, and they are just going to town in sin, and it is not good. So I'm going to wipe those people out, and I'll start over with you, Moses. And Moses didn't stand back and go, yeah, that would be a great story. God's just going to use me. It's going to be wonderful. And yeah, I'm tired of leading those Israelites. They're stuffy. They're not very good at listening anyway. No. Moses says, God, stop. These are your people. And everyone knows what you have done to bring these people up out of Egypt. Spare them. And God does. We need to pray and intercede, even in situations where we just shake our heads and go, oy, why? Because God wants to bring peace, not just to us personally, but to the world around us as well. And here's the third part, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What's incredible about the image here is that it's an image of forgiveness. The Israelites haven't done anything to go back to the land. They haven't earned their way back to it. You know, they've just been disciplined by God and removed from the land. And yet he says, I will send you back. Why? Because God forgives. And forgiveness is free. Because that's who he is. The forgiveness is free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And there's nothing you can do to change it. You know, we work out the peace of the city. We work out and receive the blessing. But when it comes to forgiveness, there's no work that we do. That's God's work. That is wholly dependent on him and his character. And what about these plans? You know, does God lay out a blueprint and say, you know, I want this here and I want that there? It's God's thoughts. What, you know, you may ask the question, well, what does God think of me? What does God want from me? Well, he doesn't want to harm us, and that's strictly in there. You know, God's plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You know, too often I think people have this image of God as being angry and like sitting up in the clouds and throwing lightning bolts down and being like, ah, I got you, and you deserve that, and you know, I'm here to wreck and ruin your life. That's not a picture of the God of the Bible. That's more a picture of the Greek and the Roman gods and the Nordic gods, you know, Zeus and Thor. That's not the God that we serve. Our God is not cruel. He has plans to give you a hope and a future. And that you is plural. It's not just individual you. It's us. God's people. That's who he's talking to. And as you know, as you can read in the Psalms, God desired Jerusalem to be a city on a hill that was light, that people saw and that they were drawn to. God wanted to draw the whole world to himself through his people, through faithfully living out the word and who he is. And again, that was part of the disciplinary action, is that Israelite people just completely forgot and went their own way. What about this future? What future is God talking about? Is he just talking about the future in 70 years' time? No. He's talking about eternity. God cares about our eternity. Because think about it. Does God really care about houses and gardens? And marriages? He does care about marriages, and he does care about gardens, and he does care about houses, but he cares about who we are way more. And that we have a relationship with him, and that relationship changes us for the good. Because he wants that relationship with us to last forever. And so you may ask yourself, well, if that's who God is, and God is going to be with me in troubled times, he's not going to abandon me in difficult circumstances, that he's going to walk beside me to achieve the peace, that he's going to walk beside me to bless, and that's something that I want, well, how do I get that? Because it's not about the work that we do. It's God's work that reestablishes the relationship. But there's just this one tiny thing that we get to do. We read about it in verse 12. Then you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will find me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We need to seek God, and he will be found. One of the best examples of this comes out of the New Testament. Bartimaeus was blind, sitting on the road to Jericho. He couldn't see Jesus, but he heard that he was coming. And he heard the sounds of a large crowd and went, okay, he's got to be here. And not being able to get up and try and find him on his own, he just calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And over the loud noise of the crowd, despite the fact that Bartimaeus is off to the side, Jesus hears him and says, come. What do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. And Jesus gives him back his sight. And Bartimaeus follows Jesus. So I would ask you this question. Is there an area of your life that you recognize that, like blind Bartimaeus, you just can't see a way through it? God cares about that area of your life. If you ask him to bring healing to it, the first thing he's going to do is change you. Change you. To produce change in that situation. Okay, that's possible. Sometimes we like to think that it's not. The first thing that God does is he changes us when we seek him. You may say, Jacob, well, I'm just a little bit skeptical about that. You know, God may change me, but what if he doesn't change the circumstances? Well, you probably sit in a good stead with Prophet Jeremiah. Because he preached the word of the Lord, and there were times people responded to it and changed. But he couldn't stop the Babylonian exile. He couldn't stop it from happening because God gives us a choice. God loves us enough to give us a choice. He doesn't force us to do things his way. He loves us into change. Loves us into it. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. We may not fully get to see that change. 70 years is a long time. You know, Daniel and all the good that he did for Babylon and all the prayers that he prayed 3 times a day towards Jerusalem, seeking the Lord with his whole heart, he didn't get to go back. And yet, where we stand here, we are blessed by the actions of those men. We are blessed by the actions of those women. Think of Esther, who, through no choice of her own, ended up becoming the queen that didn't have much of a voice. And yet, the one time that she exercised her voice in a gentle and calm spirit changed Babylon for the good and saved her people from harm. It doesn't matter how strong your voice is. God can use what strength you have. Think of Ruth, who, being a foreigner, came back with Naomi to a country that she didn't know. But she was willing to work in the fields to benefit herself and her mother-in-law and to support them. And God blessed her. She was married, she had a child, and she became part of the lineage of Jesus. We are blessed by the actions of the men and the women who have gone before us and have been faithful. Doesn't mean that we won't see hard times. It's not that kind of guarantee. The guarantee is that God is going to be with us always. And if we remain faithful to him, there will be change. That's the promise. That's the future. Because when this is all over, when time has run out and God comes back and restores everything, that's the future. Beautiful future that God wants for us. A world where there's no crying, no suffering, no pain, no injustice. There's no more sickness, no more bad health, no more shaky knees, no more lost memories. That's the world that God wants. That's the world that God will finally restore, and we can have a taste of it now. No matter what's happening around us, no matter what's going on, because God is faithful, and God is with us. And he longs to share that future with us. It to be present in the here and the now through his peace and through his blessing. Would you pray? thank you for who you are, for your faithfulness to a people who struggled to be faithful, that even though they forgot who you were and forgot where you were and forgot what you wanted for them, you did not forget. Lord, thank you for the examples of faithful men and women who keep pointing us back to your truth, that you are with us no matter what, that nothing that happens to us will ever change that. So Lord, fill us with your peace to go forth into the difficulties and struggles of our world, of our family, of our friends, and to show the unfailing love that you do to bring this world into